If you ain't first, you're last. Playoff are here. Fantasy football playoffs are here. So we got a lot to cover. There is no more time for talk. There is no more time for conjecture. You're either winning or you're going home and you're taking a seat. And you know here at The Process what side of the game, what side of the fence we plan on being on. So let's dive into this week's episode. All your normals, Thursday night football review, and we're going to make sure the picks are fired for DFS for those not around for the seasonal playoffs. Let's get it.
Time to learn, scout, win, and repeat. Let's continue the process.
Booyakasha, first up, coming up is the housekeeping for this weekend. We still got house to keep, y'all, even though playoffs are upon us. This is an exciting time of year. This is what you want. This is what you play for. What the season, everything's on the line now. So we can see these winnings coming into fruition. We can see the victories coming into fruition. Let's bring it home. Couple things, though, this week. If you are not in the playoffs, set your lineup. I ran into a situation this week where I need this person in my league to lose their matchup this week so that I can get their last spot in the playoffs. And I see his opponent, who's not in the playoffs, has a wide receiver who's out, and he played him. So now you're making it easier for this guy that I need to lose to win his contest because you're disinterested, because you're done and you haven't made the playoffs. Well, that's why we're saying if you're not in the playoffs, set your lineup. It matters to the rest of us. Sometimes you're going to be on the other end of that spectrum wishing that it didn't happen to you. So don't be an ass. Set the lineup, man. It's a part of the responsibility when you sign up for fantasy football, period. Also, can you let go of handcuffs? If you're a playoff team now, you can. I don't recommend it, but they're less valuable. That's the one thing that I want you guys to understand, because it's not a lot of teams playing for something. Half the teams are out now. So the idea that you need to be concerned that somebody's going to come steal your handcuff is less prevalent, because the playoff teams probably rolling what they got, what got them to the show, not gambling on something else at this point. So unless they're desperate. So you can kind of play that one how you think. But if it's me, I'm holding on. Like, I've got Breece Hall. I'm holding on to Cook, right? I've got Ford. I'm holding on to Hunt. I've got Chubba Hubbard and, you know, some playoff leagues holding on to Sanders. I don't want to let that go. But, you know, if you need to play a bench spot, then you can certainly make some moves, understanding that it's just not going to be as juicy, you know, because half the teams are not viable anymore. But playoff teams, though, don't drop, that's the next thing, don't drop starters. We don't want to make life easier for our opponents. So you got a tight end, you've got Hockenson or whatever, but you were also carrying Goddard. Maybe you picked him up after he came back, before he was cleared, and so you got two tight ends. Don't drop one now. You don't want to run into an opponent who's going to use that person against you if they don't have a tight end. We want them to continue to try to play without a tight end. So you have to hold on to that person. Don't drop starters. If we think that somebody, if it's a starter, you know what a starter is in the league. Don't drop it, right? Now, back to people not in the playoffs. If you're not in the playoffs, what else can you do? Switch to DFS. That's why we play daily fantasy. Still exciting. Same stakes on the line, win yourself some money. That is an exciting thing that you can do just to kind of keep your head in the game. And like we said, go along with just, you know, setting your lineup in seasonal even though you're out of it. And then finally for housekeeping, Thursday night football, you know, this Vegas 63, Chargers 21, this game got Staley canned and rightfully so. They've given up on things, it seems like, in the Chargers locker room. They have a lot of good players, and for some reason, this team could not amass wins. They seem to have problems moving the ball at times, and it's certainly a directional thing when you look at what they have on paper and the success they were able to have in previous regimes with some of these players. So it looks to be like Staley was not the fit. That outfit was not getting the job done. That's certainly true. So we'll have to see if the Chargers can have a bounce back to end the year, especially because a lot of people still depended on Keenan Allen. These Justin Herbert owners were sad to see him go to IR to end the year now, but you still got your Ecklers, you still got your Keenan Allen owners. So from a fantasy football perspective, we want to see, can they make enough offense to you know, make some noise for us? And so by being so late in the year, it's daily getting replaced. I like the idea that the team's going to have to try and play. I don't think they're going to pack it up. Whoever the, you know, next person up is, they're going to have to try to make a case for the job, right? Because this is a Chargers obviously want to go shop this job in the offseason. But if I get the job right now, I want to try to, you know, see what I can do. And if I'm a player that likes the coach right now, then I want to try to see if we can play to keep him in. I haven't admittedly seen, you know, what the next step is for the Chargers. I just know that Staley was let go. But I will be looking into that this weekend a little further with the Saturday game. Just something else personally going on for me yesterday. Not a lot of time to look into that yet, but we'll get there for sure. Wanted to make sure we get you guys the good. So, you know, from this perspective, that team can only go up. I think defensively, they've got to get better. Again, too many key marquee players for you guys to be giving up 63 points. For the Oakland side of things, you know, I don't think Oakland is that good. I think this game is more representative of the Chargers gave up than Oakland, you know, somehow is this underrated dog team. Are they doing enough to get Antonio Pierce the job? I would say so, but I also probably wouldn't hire him if it were me. I think it's a job where you can kind of go and get a bigger name, to be quite honest with you guys. Nothing personal against Mr. Pierce, but that's the way I would play it. And that is how we're going to play housekeeping this week. House is now clean. Let's get out there.
Let's play a little round of Would You Rather. I will go through 12 conundrums and tell you whether I would rather play this player or that player this week.
We're gonna shift right along, guys. A lot of excitement this week. Why make you wait? Get right into this. Would you rather? First up, Chubb or Hubbard or Trey McBride? Neither in a great matchup. I know Arizona's got to deal with San Francisco, but they got a little bit of injuries this week. And so it is interesting from that perspective that, you know, the defense will look and appear to be a little more vulnerable this week, I think. So if you're a McBride owner, sorry guys, I got the sniffles. I know it's probably annoying, but if you're a McBride owner, I made it quiet there. You got to start him, especially if you're a playoff team. I think you should feel more confident than you would like a week ago seeing this matchup just because of the injuries that the 49ers are dealing with. Chuba Hubbard, he's in a tough matchup against Atlanta. They don't give up much against the ground game, but he has this lead back role. Miles Sanders still plugging in. I like what he offers. I honestly would probably lean more McBride in this one just because I think that the Cardinals are going to have to put up points to try to stay in that one because the 49ers offense is clicking. So move the ball however you can. I think the Cardinals and Atlanta are more in a grinded out kind of game, so I think McBride. Next up, David Njoku or Deontay Johnson. Oh, we're taking Njoku. Big game last week, and I'm not just saying that from looking at it and being like, you know, That's the way fantasy players are. That's the way football fans are. We have this recency bias, so it's like he's the greatest thing since sliced bread because he scored 2 touchdowns last week. No, it's a good matchup against the Bears. Flacco has shown himself to be situationally dependable, and so that's fine too. And versus Deontay Johnson and the Steelers offense, which I just don't trust as much. So, you know, matchup regardless, I'm not interested in, you know, what Trubisky's bringing. So I would go in and joke for sure. We'll have to pause right here because I almost forgot to talk to you guys about DFS, how it went last week. The cash game did not actually, the cash game lineup didn't actually cash. But the strategy I like, this idea of play the chalk in all those different, you know, key places like wide receiver, quarterback, and running back. So one of the tournament lineups played the chalk, which was McCaffrey at running back compared to Mbaka, and that worked out. So I was able to get some green there, just as true transparency. Didn't want you guys to be like, well, he didn't talk about what he did last week, so must have been bad. Now, like I said, didn't cash nearly enough to cover the losses, but we want to get back at it this week with the understanding that we're on to something there. Then hurting us towards certain players, we look at the price pool, and so we got to be more smart about these decisions by just kind of saying, okay, one lineup with this one lineup with that one. That's how we're going to play. But back to would you rather here. Jerome Ford or Josh Downs? I'm going to take Jerome Ford this week, period. He's in a good spot against the Bears. And again, just the addition of Flacco makes the rest of the offense more viable. This takes the break. You know, this gives Jerome Ford a break, I should say. And so not going to see as many eight-man boxes because they have to respect the pass game. So we're taking Ford. Jordan Addison this week or Jalen Warren. I don't know what you're going to get with Darren Hall. I don't know what you're going to get with, not Jaren Hall, Mullins from Minnesota. Nick Mullins, I don't know. I have no idea what you're going to get. You know, it could be middle of the road, but, you know, if I needed a short thing, I'm probably just going to go with Jalen Warren because the Pittsburgh run game, you know, despite their offensive line not being great, they still offer something every week. So of those two, I'll take Gabe Davis or Jalen Warren this week. I'm going to take Gabe Davis. It's a big game. They're going to need a lot of offense. We'll talk about it and reload. Why it's traditionally not the greatest spot for him in terms of the matchup, but there's some light at the end of that tunnel that we got to investigate. Gabe Davis here. Jerome Ford and DeMario Douglas. Now, Douglas is going to be a part of the game plan this week, annoyingly, just because of price. He's so cheap, and the Patriots are just throwing to one dude, basically. They used Juju a little more last week because DeMario Douglas was out with the concussion, but he's back. And so I expect him to walk right back into the role we saw him having for a couple of weeks prior to that, being that number one primary receiver. I'm okay with that. But Jerome Ford is the better play over Douglas this week. And I particularly like Ford as a running back due to the high upside of him possibly catching passes. And he's got that home run potential. So we've seen a couple of weeks where he gets the big run and the big pass catch. And that's what we're looking for. Clyde Edwards-Helaire or Romeo Doubs? You know, it could very well be a Helaire this week because we saw more McKinnon last week. But I'm not going to play that game for the Chiefs. Go with Doubs. He's out there. He's getting snaps. He's getting targets. We have no idea, you know, what the Chiefs plan on doing with regards to Edwards-Helaire or McKinnon. And if somebody's telling you they know, they got it wrong. They're lying to you. Okay, Deebo Samuel or Rashad White. Now, both in a good spot this week. I will go with Rashad White just because Deebo's in a good spot. And he's been snapping off over the past couple of weeks. He's been doing nothing but cashing in. However, it's just one of those scenarios to where San Francisco could win in a myriad of ways this week. And it could involve him. It could also not involve him. Rashad White, I think, is going to be a prevalent part of what Tampa Bay needs to do if they want to win their game, though, versus Green Bay. That's an easier path to victory on the ground versus Green Bay. And, it's in Green Bay, so I'm expecting it to be cold. Also, Tampa Bay practically chasing that last playoff spot. So they got to play this conservatively smart. They're going to get Rashad White the ball. He's been coming on strong. Tony Pollard or Jamar Chase. I'm going to take Tony Pollard in this one. It's a tougher matchup, but not impossible matchup versus Buffalo. Whereas Jamar Chase, again, I think is hampered by the upside limited upside of who he has at quarterback. Now, I know we're all great on Browning now, but the one thing that we said about these young quarterbacks is they seem to be able to piece it together for a game or two or a couple. But then we see the peaks in the valley. We see these guys have their problems. So very naive to think that we won't see any more struggles. Or won't see any struggles from Browning. And I would not want to put myself a part of that. So of the two, I think the more secure role here is Tony Pollard this week. But for tournament purposes, if you're looking for higher upside, that's easy to chase. Jaden Reed or Kenneth Walker III this week. You know, Walker doesn't look right after coming back from injury. He's splitting a lot of time with Charbonnet. I would go Jaden Reed here. He's a part of the game plan every week. On paper, you got Christian Watson and you got Romeo Doubs as the starters. In practical life, though, Jaden Reed, Dontavius Wicks, these guys are involved in the game plan. So, regardless of what that depth chart says, Jaden Reed involved in the game. Kenneth Walker, love to see him have a quick turnaround, but I'm just not seeing where it comes. There's been no progression in his game moving forward, or them getting better at blocking or calling plays or whatever, or anything like that. So there's not a lot of nothing to go out on the limb about except for guessing, right? The other thing about it is they're playing Philadelphia on Monday night too, so we know Philadelphia can score points, right? Seattle, they can have moments on defense, but not some killer defensive team. So I expect Philadelphia to put up the points, which would mean less Walker as, you know, the Seahawks are trying to, you know, get points on the board, essentially. So definitely go Jaden Reed there. Javonte Williams or Jaden Reed this week. So the Broncos are facing Detroit Lions, and Williams seems to be coming on. I'll go with him. Broncos are in the thick of the playoff hunt, so they've got a lot to play for, and they've got an opponent that can be had on the ground. So, quite frankly, Javonte Williams easily here. And then Devonta Smith, last one, or Travis Etienne. Devonta Smith's in a good spot this week. We just talked about them going up against Seattle. A lot of room for offensive production for him and A.J. Brown. The other thing is, Etienne is going to be hampered by the health, or lack thereof, of Trevor Lawrence. They need him to be ready and good, not just hobbled, because it's just too easy for Baltimore to throw eight in the box and stop Etienne. It's going to be a tough game anyway. Baltimore's a tough defense. You see the scores of their game, these grindy, gritty type football games. And so I'm expecting more of that. Devonta Smith's involved in that. What I would potentially hope to be a shootout game, and so we'll take Smith there. But that is who we'd rather for this week 15 of the NFL football season. Hopefully that helps you understand who you would rather for this week.
And now it's time for the process to reload.
And now that we have done that, it is time to reload. We've talked about Thursday, so we're just going to breeze right by. And we got to go Saturday because we got a nice little three slate Saturday game here. And we want to take advantage of that. So, first up, Minnesota and Cincinnati. So, look, inconsistent quarterback play here is really something that I think is going to be the letter of this one. Other thing to note for Minnesota also is Alexander Mattison. I believe Mattison is going to be out in this game. I'm just checking right now. Sorry. Yeah, he's out. So they're going to be turning to, you know, maybe Cam Akers a little more. And then also they activated Tristan Jackson this week as well. But Myles Gaskin is getting elevated to the 53-man roster to try to fill that slot. So, you know, I think for Minnesota's part, you're pulling a lot on Mullen's plate because he's stepping in. He's got to figure things out. We hope he has Justin Jefferson, but obviously he went down last week, and so there's no 100% availability on him. We know they don't want to mess up this guy's health and career, even though they've got a shot at this playoff. So if he can go, he's going to go. That helps Mullins, of course, but Hockenson in play, no doubt, either way. And Minnesota, not really relying on the run all year anyhow. So I'm not going to play the guess game of who's back there hoping that some guy gets, you know, three touchdowns. Now, could we see Gaskin step in or whoever have a great game? Sure, we could, but much more likely thing is they struggle on that aspect of it. And I've seen much more success probably from what they had been working on this week more, which is, you know, Mullen. So getting him ready enough today. But Minnesota's got their backs against the wall here, which is why I like Cincinnati a little bit more. Browning a little more established. Also, you know, younger guy coming in because of injury, but he's been at it for 4 weeks. So I like that edge. Cincinnati's at home. You've defense is playing decently. They've got a, an experienced, I shouldn't say bonus and experience, but they've got a career journeyman, like a more or less backup guy, right? So that is an upgrade for the Cincinnati defense, for their competitiveness. And, you know, really this is a opportunity for Mixon to get in there and have a good game too. But I will say Minnesota's offensive line is not bad. So we expect whoever does run the ball for them to be able to find some room. But they just don't lean into that a lot. And I don't see why they would do it this week again. But the shift back to Cincinnati, I do feel a little better about Mixon. Jamar Chase can never be doubted. So if you've got him, you can start him and feel great about that. But there's not a lot else that I'm looking for there. And I'm hesitant to make bold declarations about what we see just because of the inexperience from both the quarterbacks. But I do think that Cincinnati's defense will be able to do enough to win. I know Minnesota's defense has been playing better. Flores has got these guys looking good, keeping them in the playoff hunt. But I think they run into a roadblock here in Cincinnati. I think their home crowd helps Cincinnati out. They are able to keep their playoff hopes alive. Jump to 8-6 reload. Saturday afternoon, Pittsburgh at Indianapolis. So we're going to get the Steelers traveling to Indianapolis, play the dumb game. Now, like I was saying earlier, Pittsburgh is so limited because Trubisky's not the answer quarterback, right? But George Pickens, that's a nice play. I mean, you got to get the ball to him for sure. But again, I just don't trust Trubisky. Much rather would invest in the running game. And so Jalen Warren, Najee Harris, you got those guys in time. You'll feel fine. DFS, you want to play on both, sure, you can do that too, for sure, but cheap enough. But from the Pittsburgh perspective, this is going to be a tougher football game to win if Trubisky steps in and has those mistakes. They're going to be turning to Mason Rudolph if he has those mistakes, because they know that they can't afford losses at this point. Indianapolis, I feel a little more confident about at home. I know Zach Moss hasn't been great, but he's there, he's serviceable, and this is definitely another Pittman week. 95 yards for Pittman last week, which is nice. I think he has an opportunity to have another really good week here. And then one of the ancillary receivers, but with Indianapolis, you just don't know who. It's like from week to week, Minshew's going to a different guy. But Minshew should be able to find enough room here. Indianapolis defense quietly having themselves a solid year as well. I think we're struggling play at quarterback for Pittsburgh. On the road, that's going to be the difference maker. I like Indianapolis in this one. Pittsburgh does nothing too close. They may even try to come back and have a little say in the end, but I think Indianapolis will be able to win this game off the strength of bad quarterback play from Pittsburgh. Trubisky ain't it. Reload. Denver on the road going to Detroit. Denver all of a sudden, I know they called that game last week, said that little win streak was going to come to an end, but they have been cruising, and so I expect them to take another step forward this week. Russell Wilson, I would say, is a play for sure. Good opportunity against Detroit. That defense can give up yards here and there, no doubt. Devonta Williams also in play. And it's more of a sudden thing. Judy, I think, is ancillary. Less than 5 receptions is what I would assume for Judy, to be quite honest with you guys. But the opportunity will lie in Sutton's direction for sure. Denver's going to have their hands full, though, because they've got a lot to contend with in Detroit. Amon-Ra St. Brown is in play. Goff is in play, but also Gibbs and Montgomery as well. Sorry, I was blanking on David Montgomery. But all the offensive pieces that they traditionally like to go to are in play. I think you can set up things a little bit more with the run and then pivot to Amon-Ra St. Brown. So I like him on the receiving aspect. Laporta is in a pretty good spot too. So I think that does eat away at some of the looks that or targets that you would expect from St. Brown. But it's just a clutch spot for both of them. Probably a little bit harder on the ground, but I do think that Detroit defense will be able to, make some noise there. Goal line touchdowns are definitely something that is doable here. Each back could come away with one. But I think that Denver is probably a little less quality of football team, guys. Their little try to put it together thing at the end of the game may work, because we've seen Detroit melt down a couple of times. I mean, they did lose to Chicago, they did lose to Chicago. There's been a couple other games where it's like, you should have played that differently, you should have won. I don't think that they're going to cruise to victory, but I think Detroit does get back on the side of winning here. I think that's 2 losses in a row for Denver here. Unless Russell Wilson has a 300-plus yard game on the road and he scores 3 touchdowns, they are not going to win that football game, I don't think. Prove me wrong, Denver. Prove me wrong. Their defense almost showed up last week. They called that play back, but it was going to be a sack, fumble, recovery, return for a touchdown. Man, that would have changed trajectory for that defense. But they'll be solid this week, but they're definitely in a worse environment than they were last week. I think there's too much to overcome on the road. Denver gets swept up, and Detroit keeps moving. Reload. The Jets are going to Miami to face these Finns, and this is going to be a knockdown, drag-out fight. That divisional rivalry doesn't make it easy for either of these teams. The Jets' defense is going to play man-to-man defense and do what they can to slow down Tyreek, who's injured and banged up. So I think that this is a chance for them to stay in the football game, no doubt, for sure. Miami should be able to run the football, though. I like Mostert and Achane. I don't have a preference one over the other, but I understand Mostert has been a little more electric lately. Both those guys will be in play for sure. Tyreek is still in play. Waddle can play for sure, but I just think that the Tua is going to be more checked. As the year's gone on, we've seen his numbers get more checked. Teams know what to do against him, Jets being one of them. So Miami's going to win this game. Their defense, I believe, plays better for sure. They can lead the way this week. So the Jets, they are having Zach Wilson at quarterback, which bodes well for Garrett Wilson. I like that. He should have a lot of opportunity against this zone defense in Miami, and I should see him find success there. One invest in him on a lot of levels. DFS, we like him a lot this week for sure as we get into this Sunday slate of games. So Garrett Wilson, but there's nothing else that I really like on the receiving side of the ball for the Jets. Breece Hall is there. Better now because you're getting better performance at the quarterback position, but that's going to be the way of the world for him. If they have consistent play at quarterback, then his production is going to remain inconsistent. But every time they have consistent play at quarterback, he's able to get you double-digit points. So can this happen this week? Yes, I think so. I think Garrett in the offense will be forced to do something because the nature of playing Miami. But it does seem like a back-and-forth slugfight that the Miami defense comes away as the victor over. So we'll take Miami in Miami to get the victory and sweep the season series. Reload. Houston going to Tennessee. Gonna probably have to do it without C.J. Stroud and without Tank Dell. So, and without Nico Collins. So a lot of injuries racking up for Houston. Singletary and Pierce will have their work cut out for them, no doubt. But Tennessee's no slouch against the run. So that means that Davis Mills and company are going to have to try to figure it out. I'm not trying to go there. Mills to Brown. You know, Mills to Robert Woods. I'm not trying to go there. However, it is a positive environment. I know there's going to be some people in DFS that take a chance on Mills. I don't have a problem with him. He's definitely not Stroud. Serviceable is a nice word that you can use for him. I think that they will have a chance to be in this football game as long as he doesn't turn the ball over and the run game can get going. Tennessee is in play. There's enough injuries on the other side of the ball that you guys can win this one. So I like this game. Now, Levis should be able to get the ball to Hopkins. I think Hopkins is a great play here. The run offense definitely plays for Tennessee. So King Henry. And I don't see them falling behind, so I'd say less Spears this week, right? Because he's not going to be there in those pass sets if they try to play catch-up. They can control and dominate this game this week. In fact, I think Tennessee at home, with the injuries that Houston is sustaining, it's going to be a problem for them. They won't have enough to win it this week without their key guys. Reload. Now we go on to Green Bay. They're going to host Tampa Bay. And so both these teams trying to round into playoff position here, right? A lot on the line for both teams. Green Bay, you can run on them. Like I said in the last segment, Rashad White, definitely in play for sure. Todd Bowles, been running the football the past couple of weeks. They've been coming on strong. White's been performing well. He's overperformed what most people expected to come on the year. And so this is a nice matchup for him. A little tougher for Baker, but he's proved to be a gamer the last couple of weeks. Last week, leading that game-winning drive, finding something in himself to be a different player at the end of the game, where previously he couldn't do it, or he choked. Find a way to make those plays. Mike Evans is in play against this defense. He brings a lot to offer against the zone. I don't know if they're going to have a lot to slow him down. Kate Otten also in play. Godwin is a is not as good of a play, but I think the environment is right for him as well because the run game is going to be strong. So you can't really guard everybody all the time, right? So he's going to be the beneficiary of a lot of other people in a good spot. I think that's going to free him up. Tampa Bay is in a very good spot here. Green Bay, for their side, offensively, they're in a good spot. Love has found a way to turn it on, and he's throwing better balls. He's throwing better passes. Do I think he's somehow overnight a better quarterback? No, probably not. But if he can continue to keep the ball out of harm's way, then when he scores 15 points fantasy-wise, then they win. So he's got an opportunity to do that against this Tampa Bay secondary. Now, running the ball, probably not going to be as effective. I believe Aaron Jones is still out. Dylan has not been effective. Tampa Bay is stout against the run, so don't look there. But passing the ball, yes, like you said earlier, Christian Watson, Romeo Doubs, those are starters out there, but I'm really looking for Jaden Reed, Octavius Wicks, and really more Jaden Reed. And then also at the tight end position, we want to go with Tucker Kraft. That's a good play this week. You got to throw to somebody, and he's in a very good spot against this Tampa Bay defense at home here. I like both of these teams. I think it's a pretty even matchup right here, but I'm going to go ahead and give it to Tampa Bay on the road. I'm going to say that they, because of the way they've been finishing up games, I think they have a great opportunity to stay close, keep it close, and find a way to get a victory here to keep their playoff hopes alive. Tampa Bay steals one up in Green Bay in the cold on the road. Reload. The Giants are going to New Orleans. And so the Giants playing better as of late. I think this is a good opportunity for their defense. The Giants are going to be competitive here. DeVito, I think, is a little overhyped, if you will. I mean, I'm much happy for the guy. Hopefully success for him. But just in terms of reality, a lot to be left in the quarterback position. So Wan'Dale Robinson, maybe if you want to go somewhere, but I'm not very much interested in anything the Giants are bringing this week. Saquon Barkley gets a downgrade too, just because of the New Orleans Saints defense. They're pretty stout against the run. New Orleans, on the other hand, is in a good spot. Their defense is in a good spot against a rookie QB. They play a lot of man. So again, Wan'Dale Robinson probably is where you can go if you want. But as far as the Giants go, they're going to see man defense as well from New Orleans. And so in this scenario, Darius Slayton, maybe if you need something, if you absolutely need something, but I wouldn't feel so positive about that if I'm running out to do it. For the New Orleans side of things, though, Olave is definitely in play. I like Shaheed as well. And this is all if Carr can stay healthy. This guy leaves every game, has to go into the tunnel or the tent every game all the time. I want to play him sometimes. I've had interest this year, but you can't trust a guy who we're not sure he's going to take all the snaps at quarterback. So, and on top of the snaps he's missing, they already figure in so many plays for Taysom Hill. So now he's taking them. So that's like 15 offensive plays a game that he's not playing. You can't get invested in a guy like that. That doesn't end well for us unless he's out there and like healthy or whatever. He's like the walking dead. But those wide receivers definitely can get invested there. Kamara's in a decent spot too. Defense can really round it out. This is a winnable game for New Orleans. They're at home. They should stay viable in that playoff race. Reload. Atlanta, for their part, is going to be trying to keep up with New Orleans. They're on the road against Carolina. We've seen Carolina be bad. So Carolina's or Atlanta's defense is in play for sure. We saw Drake London have a great week last week. I think that's tempered expectations more this week. Probably more of an opportunity for Bijan Robinson on the ground for sure. But Kyle Pitts probably in a tougher spot too this week. Pitts or London, I take London. But again, Carolina's coming on. That defense is getting pieces back. You guys back from IR playing stronger. And if they are not getting blown out of the water. And so with Atlanta having a middling offense and Carolina having a, middling as a positive way defense, I don't see a ton of points here. I think they keep it close. They try not to embarrass themselves, but you're not going to get a lot from Bryce Young. I don't think Thielen is a great play this week against this defense specifically. they're going to have to try to assert themselves with the run. Maybe a little success there, but it's going to be hard times. Again, I just like Atlanta. I think the defense is really weak away. Even if they have a middling day, there's not a lot of direction in Carolina right now. It's a divisional rivalry game. They're not going to try to embarrass themselves, but Atlanta will find a way to win. Reload. Chicago going to Cleveland. I'm surprised Flacco was not highly owned last week. It's crazy to me. They're going to be 3% on in these contests where we saw what he was able to do. We know his body of work. And even from the previous week, it was enough there to show you. He had 17 points 2 weeks ago that this could be done. He showed up big, delivered it to Njoku 2 times, 2 touchdowns. Njoku's in play again this week. Again, this bodes well for the running backs too. So you're going to see the box stack less because you have viable play at quarterback. And so Ford, Hunt, these guys are able to kind of breathe and run their offense. This is another great get-right spot for Cleveland. They're at home. It's a Bears team that's going to be playing this Cleveland defense. It's pretty good, as we know. Chicago, no stranger to turnovers on offense, no stranger to bad offensive play. All too easy to see that happening here against Cleveland. DJ Moore probably can get a home run play. Cleveland does give up a big home run play here and there. He can probably get that. That's not an issue. But there's not going to be a lot of daylight running the ball, whether you want to talk about Roshan Johnson or you want to talk about Khalil Herbert. I'm not buying any of that. I'm also just thinking, you know, maybe Fields runs around a bit. Like, DJ Moore is the only guy you'll have some interest in, not even commit this week. But it just feels like more of a Cleveland game with a lot of their players being in. Like I think a lot of their players are in play. Now, I will say this. I think Chicago hangs around with them in the passing game. I haven't purposely mentioned Amari Cooper or anything like that, because I think that for Cleveland, it's a good opportunity to run the football and to, you know, intermediate best to the tight end, to the Njoku. So that's what we like in the game that they should win. Reload. Kansas City going to New England. So the Chiefs having problems last week, right? It's totally lined up, but it's just more than that. This offense doesn't score a lot of points. So, you know, it's hard to expect to win week in and week out when you have this expectation that you can struggle offensively. So, they're going to have to try to get it together. New England doesn't embarrass themselves defensively, generally, and they're at home. I like a lot of that for this week. You know, their defense will try to keep them in the ball game. Now, they're not going to have Stevenson until you see more Zeke Elliott this week. I like him. That's a decent play. Also, for New England, Demario Douglas coming back. And so that's the guy they're going to try to hit at wide receiver. So he's in play. Hunter Henry as well. But I just want to temper those expectations, because this isn't a Kansas City team that is forcing up a ton of points, right? And so don't be convinced that New England's going to have to do all this crazy stuff and just pull it off and actually get to do it. This is just Zappy and company against a bad Kansas City offense, right? So pretty limited options there. On the Kansas City thing, aside of things, they'll do just enough to win the game. Their defense, honestly, could win this one. I feel like they will lead the way. Their defense is in a good spot. I would play them and feel great about it. Kelce, not so much. Mahomes, decent spot. But I mean, you know, running the football is a great option for Kansas City. But if there's no Pacheco, we're not sure how it breaks down between, you know, Clyde Edwards-Helaire and McKinnis. I don't want to get involved there. The most trustworthy thing is the defense. They find a way to win that one, but I don't think it's going to be pretty. Reload. San Fran going to Arizona. This divisional rivalry, I'm not punching Arizona. Injuries to the San Francisco defense should open up some room for Marquise Brown, Wilson, if he's able to finally come back. But I want to limit those expectations, right? There's just, they're going to have to score points, though. That's the thing. San Fran is going to blow them out the water. I think Purdy's in a good spot. Tebow's in a good spot. Ayuk as well. But also McCaffrey. That's a clutch play right there. We play with DFS. So he's in a good spot against this Arizona defense. A lot of different ways for them to score. More warm environment for Arizona to put up points too. So I think we can kind of see that and expect that for sure. They won't put up nearly enough though to win. I think they can get blown out of the water still, even with some of the injuries. San Francisco's defense, I think, will be able to live and fight another day. not a ton of fireworks in Arizona, but Kyler Murray should have some decent numbers. If you need to use him, I would be okay with that this game for sure. Reload. All right, guys. Washington at the Rams. So a lot of offense, I think, can be expected in this one because it's a great environment for Howell and also for Stafford. Stafford's playing much better lately. This is a cup game for sure. Against this defense, he can have an opportunity to have a great afternoon. Can Cooper Kupp. Less of a Nacua thing, I think, because it's not so much like, you know, man coverage as much as it is zone coverage. So, like, you know, Kupp for sure over Puka, but they're both in a good spot. The offensive run game even for the Rams. So, you know, Kyron Williams also in a very nice spot. There's a lot to like there. The Rams defense isn't great though, so the Washington side, I think they're also in a good spot. Sam Howell's in a good spot. McLaurin, we like him, but I understand that, you know, he kind of spreads the ball around, so I don't have a preference of, like, you know, Thomas at tight end or Dobson or Samuel. Those guys are all going to kind of line up together. But McLaurin, if you want to put one guy over the rest. Now, I will say for Washington, Brian Robinson is out, and so you're going to see more Antonio Gibson. But it's not a great matchup versus the Rams. So I would limit those expectations. Carlos Rodriguez is probably going to get some run too. So again, if you're looking for like tournaments, you know, million maker type things, or you're just really in a pinch or in a bind, that's where you would go. Those are the players. But you really want to look at the passing game for sure. Like I said, how it's going to play. Now, I want to go with the Rams because they got more to play for here and they're at home. And they've got a more well-rounded situation versus the uphill battle that the Washington run game is going to have versus the Rams. So, great environment, but I think Stafford coming on at the right time, at the right place. This is an opponent that they can beat up at home. Rams win this one. Reload. Dallas going to Buffalo. We're hoping fireworks. This is the game that they're hurting us to for DFS purposes. And you would expect Dak to be able to put up some points and have a good game. But Josh Allen also, he's proving serviceable all year, whether they win or lose. Even though they're throwing those picks, he's scoring points. And so we do like both quarterbacks, but if I got to pick between one, I'm going Josh Allen this week. Certainly, you know, putting up those points week in and week out, I want a piece of that. And we'll see if Dallas can chase. You know, but they're in a good place. Like I said, Dak, CeeDee Lamb is in a great spot. Even Cooks is in a decent spot, but it's really more about CeeDee Lamb this week. I do like the Dallas run game as well. So Pollard, Rico Dowdle, they have an opportunity to keep this game sort of very even keel. Dallas's defense is in a good spot because Buffalo's found ways to make mistakes, turn the ball over, like I said, interceptions. So I like the Dallas defense coming up big later in the game, even if Buffalo's putting points up. But for Buffalo's sake, we do like Allen. Running the ball, less of an option against Dallas, but Cook has been coming on strong, so maybe more commitment. I mean, since they've walked away from Dorsey at OC, life is different. Life is better. So we'll see if that commitment to the run sticks this week, but certainly Diggs is in a great place versus this Dallas team. Now, man-to-man zone, however you want to carve it up, but man-to-man certainly Diggs. Now, I will say this for Gibson. Typically, very inconsistent player. We know he's kind of a boom or bust thing, but his sweet spot is like, you know, between 10 and 15 yards outside of the numbers, like between the sideline and the numbers. So that is an area of the field that Dallas typically is not defending well this year. So if you talk about within 10 yards of the line scrimmage, they're great. You know, 20 or more, they're great. But that particular part of the field, that 15, you know, 12 yard to 15 yard, they have not, and outside of the, hash marks, right? They have not been great. That is a soft spot for Gabe Davis. And so I do think that on the face of it, it's not a great matchup. But if you dive a little further, he can find some life. And so we're going to use him a little bit at DFS this week as well. Buffalo needs this football game. I think Dallas is going to have a big letdown after their emotional victory versus Philadelphia last week. And I can see Philadelphia winning this week and just getting right back on top of the division. Dallas knows this, so they're not coming and resting on their laurels. But I think Buffalo is rounding into something of a playoff form, and they know they need this game. They're at home. They got to have it. Let's go, Buffalo. Reload. Sunday night, Baltimore at Jacksonville. If Trevor Lawrence isn't healthy, then there's nothing that I like about Baltimore, or Jacksonville, rather, period. If he is healthy and able to contribute, then you might be able to get a couple of things going. I mean, Evan Ingram is the receiver du jour. That's who's been facilitating the offense, him and Etienne. So the running against Baltimore is not necessarily, you know, the easiest thing to do, but their defense has been playing strong altogether. I will say this, Kyle Hamilton going down, that stinks for them, but they do get Marcus Peters back, so they trade off a little bit there. But Baltimore looking strong in a game where they can play some bully ball, and I just don't expect much points if we don't have a fully healthy Jacksonville via Trevor Lawrence. If he is healthy, like I said, you got to be finding Ingram, obviously Zay Jones in play, but I would temper my expectations. And Baltimore's chasing that number one seed, so I expect them to come ready and locked to play. And so that brings us to our final shot. We'll make it a good one and reload from Monday night, Philadelphia at Seattle. I think Philadelphia wins this football game. Seattle has shown that, you know, they're better than a lot of teams, but not better than the really good teams. And so at home, they're going to have their hands full. Philadelphia is a great offense. I don't think Seattle's defense is, you know, going to be able to contain them. So Brown is in play. Devontae Smith is in play. Swift, sure. But more of those guys and Goddard too. So it's a Jalen Hurts type of football game. They can score the points and get out there. I think Seattle will be chasing. For Seattle's part, you need Geno back to make that thing run and get Geno. You know, I think this bodes well for K Metcalf, who's coming on strong. Lockett is not in a bad play. He's in a good position, but it's DK Metcalf who's been coming on as of late. And in the run game, I would, you know, be a little more suspicious of that versus Seattle. And against the Philadelphia defense, just, you know, Kenneth Walker has not been healthy. He's been splitting time with Charbonnet anyway, so I just think there's less of a path to victory right there. And Philly's going to score a bunch of points, I believe. So not a whole lot of time to run the football for Seattle. Hopefully they can put up some points via the air. But I think this is a Philly football game. I think Philly has a better opportunity to win their game this week, even though them and Dallas are on the road. But again, the opportunity is to take back the division, even though they just lost to Dallas last week. So I expect those to both be very competitive games, but ultimately Philadelphia's defense will do enough, and they're going to win that football game. They'll come away, and they'll keep the pressure on to try to get back to the top of the division. But that's how I see these games shaping up for this week, guys. So hopefully it gives you a better idea of what to expect on Saturday and Sunday.
And now time for the part of the show where the process goes over our DFS fantasy football picks for the week. We'll go over cash game plays, tournament or GPP plays, and sometimes talk about stacks that you can use to leverage your wins for the week.
So we'll go to our DFS, and we're going to keep it simple, guys. I think the way to play it this week is pay down the wide receiver so you can pay up for McCaffrey, and I want to pay up for Josh Allen. Picking him over Dak Prescott, so at $8,200 this week, I'm going with Josh Allen. My wide receivers, I like Garrett Wilson this week and Terry McLaurin. Wilson is $5,800, McLaurin is $5,600. Paying down for these guys in positive scenarios is going to help us to afford McCaffrey. Simple. Now, I've got a couple of different lineups, and so I'll just say those two receivers are going to play, but I'm going to be alternating between Cooks and Davis for a couple of lineups. So that third receiver is going to be Cooks or Gabe Davis, Brandon Cooks or Gabe Davis, depending on what I'm doing as far as, you know, how these line of construction goes, because it basically what I have is some consistent parts and then some iffy parts. So Allen, Garrett Wilson, and Terry McLaurin, these are part of the consistent parts. You're going to play these guys on all the lineups. Then it's like Cooks or Davis. Right? Now for tight end, it's Njoku or Kraft. I like Njoku at $4,700, or you could, like I say, play Tucker Kraft at $3,000. running back is McCaffrey at $9,300. We want to plug him in and play him and hope that the price scares people off. I don't think it will, though. He's going to be popular. Now, Ford or Hunt, that's the second running back. So just like the third wide receiver is this guy or that guy, second running back, Ford or Hunt, whichever one you can afford, no pun intended. And then the flex this week, I'm going to go with DeMario Douglas because he's $3,900 and he's going to get the targets and touches, or Rashid Shaheed, $4,300. So as far as defense goes, Panthers at $2,800, talked about their strong play recently. That won't kill us versus Atlanta. And then the Patriots versus Kansas City, who's been scuffling too, at $2,300 if you need to bottom out. So, like I said, there's some common pieces there. And then I play with, you know, some of those other either or, so I can get both scenarios in with the common pieces. Haven't figured out whether I go Cooks or Davis for the double up lineup and then use the other one for tournament. But if I had to guess right now, I'd be using Cooks for cash and then Davis for tournament. And so that means that I would probably be using Njoku as well for cash, Kraft for tournament. I think Ford for cash, Hunt for tournament. Shaheed for tournament, Douglas for cash is what I'm thinking. And then Panthers over Patriots probably. So, but I'm going to mix them both in, though. And guys, that's where I'm going. And then, you know, if I do make a couple other lineups, like I said, they're going to branch off from those, you know, common guys there and then just try to attack some maybe different scenarios. But that's what I got for you. Good luck if you are in the playoffs, you're playing to win this week. Let's go get it. If you are playing DFS, let's go get that too. You know how we do it. We'll watch it all unfold on Sunday, and then we'll come back here next week and talk about what we saw, how we did, and get you ready for week 16. Peace.
The Process is brought to you by Tiger Bomb Sports Audio Entertainment.